This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
Great. So let's do a quick review from last week. Men and women are?
Different.
That's not going to do. Men and women are?
Different.
How different?
Very different.
Very different. What's the difference? Women are?
Relationship beings.
Relationship beings. Men are?
Not.
Well, if men are not relationship beings, what do they need?
A job.
A job. What's your job, men? Make your wife
happy.
Happy. When?
All the time.
All the time. How do you do it?
Three A's.
What are they?
Affection, attention, and appreciation.
Excellent. Attention, affection, and appreciation. Last week we did attention. And I gave you three tools for attention. First tool was 2 minutes of eye contact. If you did the homework, the men, you understood what undivided attention looks like because you did those 2 minutes of eye contact a day. If you didn't do it again this week. You got to do it. The next one was the 20 minutes. Ladies, did your husband give you your 20 minutes when he first came home? Or when you first came home from work? Did he give it to you? When you wanted them, those first 20 minutes? I'm getting some yeses. I'm getting some, yeah, maybe, no, not really. It's okay. 20 minutes, you got to work on that this week. Remember what I said about the tools? Guarantee they don't work if you don't use them. But also, I said that if you don't do them during this program, the 8 weeks, when are you going to start? So you got to do it. And the last one was to take your wife's call at work. How's that one going? Yeah, you did that one? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, let's start with the tools this week for affection. This week we're going to do affection and appreciation. And next week, gentlemen, we'll be speaking to the women about what they need to do to make you happy. So hang in for one more week. All right, let's do affection first. I have four tools for affection. First tool for affection is what I call affectionate touch. It's imperative for your wife, for the woman in your life, to get and experience and feel affectionate touch from her man, from her husband. It's extremely important for her to get affectionate touch from her husband. Now, gentlemen, whatever it is you're thinking right now, that's not it. Affectionate touch means non-sexual touch. Non-sexual. Once it's sexual, then it's something completely different. Once it's sexual, all of a sudden now it has deep levels of communication, bonding, oneness, something way deeper. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's an important part of the relationship, which we're going to talk about in the seventh class. But affectionate touch has to be non-sexual in order for it to be affection. Anybody know why it has to be non-sexual in order to be affectionate? That once it becomes sexual, it ruins it. It's no longer affection. It's something else. Anybody know why? You guys ever hear of a book called by John Gray, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course you've heard of it. Actually, there's a rabbi in L.A. He heard the title, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and he was appalled with the title. He couldn't believe it. He said, what kind of a title is that? That puts them in the same solar system. Men and women are so unbelievably different. So anyway, in the book, he asks a question. And the question that he asks is this. He says, why do women love cut flowers? How many women here would love it when their husbands bring them bouquets of flowers, cut flowers? Every hand, almost. Why do you love it? What do you love about it? It doesn't make any sense to a guy. It makes no sense. What are you doing? I'm giving you these flowers that are now detached from the ground for you to take. Put them in water so that you can slowly watch them decay and rot in front of your eyes. What kind of a gift is that? Doesn't make sense. For a man, okay, you like the beauty of a flower? Okay, that makes sense. You know, you're into beauty. We'll get you beauty. We'll buy you a potted plant with a flower. For a man, that makes much more sense. Why? Well, it's fiscally responsible. And when I give it to you, it's going to last. The flower will last, and you can get the beauty of that flower perpetually. Well, why doesn't that work? Needs to be nurtured, right? That's exactly what he said. He said that when you bring your wife cut flowers, what you're doing, first of all, you get to do the giving, thinking about her and giving all the time, which is a very important romantic side of it. But he said something way deeper. He says, when you give a woman a potted plant, what you've done now is you've given her something else to take care of. And a lot of the time, when you do that, the beauty of the flower is now lost in the task of having to take care of it. When you give her cut flowers, what you do is you just give her these flowers, put them in a vase, and then she gets to just see the beauty of the flower without any strings, without any obligations, until it dies slowly, excruciating death. And then she just throw them away, and then you give her more, and she gets to repeat it. That's why affectionate touch has to be non-sexual. Get it? Think about it. Why? Because as soon as it's sexual, all of a sudden now, what does she have to think about? Something's expected of her. Now, all of a sudden, now it's not just her focusing on you touching her, but now comes the payback. Now, it's the man talking. Now comes the reciprocation. Now comes, she has to now think of it. Now, oh, but for a woman, we know that intimacy in a relationship, which we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks, but intimacy in a relationship for a woman is on a much different level of bonding and connection and communication. So that by her giving back, it's not just about touch anymore. It's about some deeper level of bonding. So the affectionate touch gets lost now in the reciprocation. It's extremely important, gentlemen, for your wife to feel the affection of affectionate touch, which is non-sexual, from you. What kinds of things may it be? Holding hands. What else?
Would kissing be part of it, or that's too much already? No, I'm just wondering.
That's a good question. Yeah. That's a good question. I'm going to suggest that you ask your wife, not just you, anybody. When I say what kinds of things, ask your wife. You got something now to talk about on the way home. Say, honey, what kinds of things do you like that's affectionate touch, that's non-sexual, that makes you feel like you're getting the affection from me through touch? And ask her. She may want to say rub her hair, rub her shoulders, rub her feet, hold hands, whatever it is, whatever it is. And then, gentlemen, you have to do it. Affectionate touch. When?
All the time.
No, not all the time.
Not all the
time, but the appropriate time, the appropriate place, of course. But you have to do it as frequently as you can, okay? It's important. First tool for affection is affectionate touch. Because you don't need it necessarily as much as she does, you still have to do it. Second tool for affection is what I call affectionate tones. You must speak to your wife in affectionate tones. When?
The time.
This one is all the time. All the time means all the time. All the time. You see, men, what we tend to do is we tend to compartmentalize relationships. There's parts of our relationship that are affection, so there we'll talk in affectionate tones. There's parts of the relationship that are business, paying visa bills, whatever, talking about that kind of thing. There you're going to go into your business tone. There's parts of the relationship that are parenting. There you're going to go parenting tone, the parts of the relationship that are walking the dog tone, parts of the relationship that are having fun tone. Men compartmentalize the relationship. For women who are relationship beings, women don't compartmentalize their relationship. Every aspect of their relationship is relationship. Therefore, you have to talk to her in affectionate tones, whether it's an affectionate moment or a business moment or a parenting moment, whatever it is. You have to talk to her in affectionate tones all the time. And all the time means all the time. You know, I learned this in my own marriage. I learned this lesson very early on. And I learned this lesson the hard way. When I first got married, I lived in Jerusalem. And I used to, there's a law in Judaism, actually, it's called Shana Rishona. Shana Rishona is the first year of marriage. In the first year of marriage in Judaism, the evenings you have to keep free. You're not supposed to work in the evenings for that first year. You're not supposed to go on business trips. You're supposed to keep your evenings free for the two of you to work on building the foundation of your relationship. So that's what we did for our first year of our marriage. And so you try to think of things to do, constructive things. I was in rabbinic college in Jerusalem, studying in the old city, in a place called a yeshiva. Anybody ever walk into a yeshiva before? You ever seen what a yeshiva? A yeshiva is like a college of Jewish study. They have men's yeshivas and women's yeshivas, and it's a dynamic, unbelievably dynamic place to go into, especially to see it. You have 100 people, 200 people, every people in the yeshiva, in study partners, discussing the ancient text of Judaism, the Torah, the Talmud, all these things. And when they're discussing it, it's a dynamic interaction. It's kind of the opposite of a public library. Public library, shh, I'm studying, shh, quiet, quiet. In the yeshiva, you're yelling at each other. You're saying, read the words, come on, that's not what it says. What are you talking? You've got a couple hundred people, and it's crazy, and it's exciting, and everybody, I read, and all of a sudden, you look at your watch, and you scream, oh, lunch. Put your arm around, you walk out, you say, hey, how you doing? How's the kids? Everything's great. About 45 minutes later, you come back, and you go, where were we? Come on! Read the words! What are you saying? And that's kind of what a yeshiva is like. It's a wonderful place. Well, when we first got married, my wife and I, you know, we're talking about kinds of things, what sort of things, you know, we would like to do in the evenings to bond, get close. And so my wife suggested, hey, why don't we learn together? So I was, yeah, great. I love learning. This is a tremendous way to get to know each other. So the first evening we started learning together, we picked a text, and I said, do you mind if I read first, and we'll discuss it? She said, no. So I picked something. I read a verse, and I read it, and I said, what do you think it means? And so she gave her interpretation, and I look at her, and I look down on the paper, and I go, what? Come on! Read the words! What are you saying? Read the words! I'm in heaven! Come on! And I look up, and what is she doing? She's crying. Never once did I elicit that response like that in my study partner, rabbinic college. And I look at her and she's crying. And what is she saying to me? Why are you
yelling at me?
Honey, I'm not yelling at you. We're just learning together. You see, gotta appreciate that for a woman, every aspect of the relationship is relationship. Here I think I'm just learning, and we're having an exciting learning, but you know what? She thinks I'm yelling at her, which I wasn't. The parts of the relationship that are affection, you speak in affectionate tones. Parts of the relationship that are business, you're paying your Visa bill together, you have to speak in affectionate tones. Yeah. Who knew, Phil? Who knew? I thought maybe that's the way she learned also in yeshiva. Who would have thought? Don't worry, the second time I said that. But you know, it's affection. I learned, you learn very quickly, affectionate tones. You've got to speak in affectionate tones. What are affectionate tones like? What do they sound like?
They're soft,
right? They're not yelling. What else? Could be low, could be. It's just, you know what affectionate tones are? It's very simple. It's respect and love. That's what affectionate tones are. With respect and love. Use pet names. Oh, my googie googly googly. If that's what you're into. But it's not condescending. Okay, my little flower, we're going to go over the Visa bill now. Affectionate tones are not condescending. It's respectful, but it's loving. No matter what you're dealing with, you're calling her up to tell her that you are going to be late because you have to take your car into the dealership. Respectful and loving. You're calling her up to tell her something else, something crisis happened. Respectful and loving. So you must speak to her in affectionate tones. When?
All the time.
And all the time means?
All the time.
All the time. Okay, so that's the second tool for affection. Any questions? Any questions? What's the Visa bill's $5,000? What if the Visa bill's $5,000? So let's say the Visa bill is exorbitant 1 month. It's just crazy. So here's your options. You can speak to her in affectionate tones and work it out. Or you can scream at her, yell at her, and make her feel like a complete idiot for overspending. Those are really your two options. So what are you going to do? You speak to her in affectionate tones. You'll work out the problem. You won't, you know, you end up having two problems if you do that. Yes? It's time then you speak to her in affectionate tones and deal with the problem with affectionate tones. Always in affectionate tones. What's your alternative? Yell at her? Scream at her? That's going to work. You want to take care of the problem? Do it in affectionate tones. She's not your kid. Yeah. And you shouldn't speak to your kid like that either. Any other questions? No? So that was affectionate tones all the time. So we had affectionate touch and affectionate tones. Now here comes a doozy. Now, men, you got to appreciate something. Is that I'm a man. I got a wife. And I'm working on these tools just like you are. Every day I'm working on them, and I'm trying to make them work in my marriage. I've been doing it for years, but I'm still doing them every day. I'm still working. Some of them I find easier than others. Some I find very difficult. The next tool I have, I find personally very difficult. Some men find it easy. This is the one I have trouble with. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. It's what I'm working on. And that is, you must write your wife love notes twice a week. You must write your wife love notes twice a week. Now, what does a love note look like?
Yeah, like
how detailed? How long? How detailed? Long? Well, let me tell you, this is why I have the trouble with love notes. Because I think every time I write a love note, I think it has to be some sort of a Shakespearean love sonnet. And I sit down with a big card and I start, my dearest darling. And I think that when I do happen to write one of those, that the next time I write a note, it has to top that one. Otherwise, she won't appreciate it. Gentlemen, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. You know what a love note is? You get a tiny card. You get a little sticky. And you write on the little sticky, love you. Thinking about you. Or you write something, I miss you. And you take that sticky and you stick it on her steering wheel. So when she goes down in the morning to go to work or carpool, whatever she's going to be doing, she gets there and she sees the sticky on the carpool that says, I miss you already. Women, what do you think? Good?
What about if the wife doesn't drive?
Put it on her shoes. Yeah. Yeah, in the lunch. Oh, yeah. Put it in the lunch. That's sweet. But that's the kind of thing. It doesn't take much. It really doesn't take much. It's a short little note, and it's the thought that counts. It doesn't take much. Now, so you can write a poem. Actually, it's interesting. One of the people that did the class in Florida told me that they started doing these notes, and I did a follow-up class about 3 months later, and they started doing these notes, And they said they actually came across a really interesting game that they play with each other with the love notes now, is they bought a little whiteboard marker, a little one that sits next to the telephone in the hall. They're newly married and there's no kids around. So this is, you can adapt it any way you want or not use it, but you have to do love notes. Is that what they do is they write a love note on this thing. So he'll write it, and then she sees it, erases it, and writes him a love note. And then whenever he sees it, he erases it and writes her a love note. So they go and do that, and they do it at least once a day. So that's the way you can sort of adapt it. But gentlemen, you must write your wife a love note twice a week.
But they won't be spontaneous if it's regimented like that.
The question is they won't be spontaneous if they're regimented like that. So what? Why do they have to be spontaneous? Yeah, you get a birth card on your birthday. That's sort of regimented. Forget about it being spontaneous. I mean, gentlemen, don't every Tuesday put a note on her steering wheel. And then every Thursday put a note on her steering wheel. You can, you know, if that's what you're saying. Of course, you should, you know, maybe one day stick a note in her sock drawer so she opens it up. Another one, put a note on the fridge. So when she got another one, hide it somewhere so she, when she looks for it, put one. That's the kinds of things you do. But it literally takes 2 minutes. I love you. I miss you. I'm thinking about you. You're the most wonderful woman in the world. Whatever. You're beautiful. It takes 2 minutes.
Can you lie?
Yes, you can. You'll just pay for it the rest of your life. The question, somebody asked, can you send her emails as your love note? The answer is no. It has to be handwritten. If you send her an email, it's nice. That's a good thing to do too. But you have to do a hand. Why handwritten? Because it's more personal. It means more when it's handwritten. A guy told me, he said that he did. He said, Rabbi, after one of the sessions, he said, I got it. What I did is I sat down for about half an hour and I wrote up 8 notes on my email. I automated it to send them randomly twice a week for the next, and I'm covered for the next 3 months.
What's that program?
You imagine? Emails don't count. You can't use emails. Emails don't count. Don't worry about it. Write her a note anyway. Yeah.
Is it considered a love note if it's followed by a list of things to do?
No, it's not. But that's a very good question. For example, you don't write a love note on the put it in the fridge on the milk carton saying, we need more milk. Honey, I love you. That doesn't count. Very good. That doesn't count. Yeah. No, this is the men's job. We'll get to the women next week. Okay, any other questions? So this week, I expect that you're going to give your wife 2 love notes. It literally takes 2 minutes. It's just the thought. It's hard to get yourself to do it. Yes? Do you don't want the women to reciprocate? You can do whatever you want. I'm telling the men what to do. You can do whatever you want. My wife writes me love notes all the time. That's great. But that's not her job. It's my job to write her notes twice a week. And that's what we're talking about right now, the men's job.
What do you consider if one were to, for example, purchase a card and add a personal note to the Hallmark or Carlton Center that's already on there? So
that's fine. That's good. Just don't write. I love the people who send the Hallmark cards and just write, Dear so-and-so. Then there's the whole message, you are like a flower. Whatever message they put in the Hallmark, and then they write, love so-and-so. Now, make it a little more personal than that. Okay. So let's go to the fourth tool for affection. The first tool was affectionate touch, non-sexual. Second tool, affectionate tones, all the time. Third tool, Love notes, how often?
Twice
a week. It's gold, gentlemen. It's gold. And the fourth thing for affection is you must call your wife once a day from work just to say I love you. You must call your wife once a day from work just to say, I love you. I was thinking about you. I miss you. Gentlemen, how long does that take? A minute, maybe 2 minutes. And you know what you're telling your wife when you say that? You're thinking of her, but even more than that, what are you saying? That you are not just important to me, but more important to me than work. While I'm at work, I'm thinking about you. So, you have to do it. Now, there's a guy who did this program. I gave this assignment that you have to call your wife at work. And he came back to me the next week and he said, you know, Rabbi, I love what you have to say. And some of it, I'm doing most of it, but I'm busy at work. I'm really busy. I get there at 8:30 in the morning, and literally until 4:30 in the afternoon, I don't have a second to breathe. I don't go to the bathroom. I don't eat. He said, there is no way that I can get into my mind to call my wife. It's just I'm too busy. So I said, he said, what should I do? I said, listen, you know, you're a smart guy. You run a big company. You're a smart guy. Figure it out and come back next week and tell me. So he came back the following week, and he said, I got a solution. And I said, what is it? He said, well, I told my secretary. No, he didn't say, I told my secretary to call my wife and say, Mr. So-and-so loves you. He didn't say that. He said he told his secretary to interrupt him every day. Different times of the day. He put it in her schedule. Call your wife. And he stops for a second, calls his wife, and he says, hi, sweetie, I was just thinking about you, and I love you. And she says, thank you, and he puts the phone down, and that's it. The wife knows that the husband gets a reminder from the secretary. She still loves it. She loves it. She feels so special that that's what he's doing with his day. Whatever it takes, men, call your wife once a day from work just to say I love you. Now, what if you're calling her anyway about something else? Your plans for tonight, or there's something with the family, the kids, the baby. What about that? If you're calling her about something else? Right. You have to make two calls. First call is your business. Call with her, whatever it's about. You have to call her just once a day just to say, I love you, and I was thinking about you. And if you can't find time in your day to do that, just find the time.
And this can be any time during the day?
Any time.
Now, let's say if you call for business, should you call the next second after that, or give it a little
time? Can you have a free dial?
Either way, it'll work. Either way. All right, any questions about attention?
What happens if you work with your spouse?
Then you have to stop what you're doing once a day and tell her that you love her. You know what, sweetie? I was just looking at you and I just, you know, I love you. That's it. Okay, let's get back to work. The idea is that she starts seeing that she is the most important thing in your life. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to go on a detour just for a second here. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Imagine, God forbid, imagine that you had a mistress and your wife knew about this mistress. How would she react and feel towards this woman who's the mistress? The answer is hate her, fight against her. Everything about it, she would fight you when it had to do with this mistress. Gentlemen, anything that you make your wife feel is more important to you than her is a mistress. I'll say that again. Anything that you make your wife feel is more important to you than her is a mistress. And you know what that means? She's going to fight against it in your life. So, for example, if you make her feel that your business is more important to you than her, that's how you make her feel, she's going to fight your business. If you make her feel that your parents are more important to you than her, she's going to fight you in regards to your parents. If you make your children, if you make her feel that your kids are more important to you than her, she's going to fight your relationship with your kids. Anything that you make her feel is more important to you than her becomes a mistress. Your job is to make her feel that she is the most important thing in your life. By calling her from work once a day, just to say, you know what, I'm here, but I'm thinking about you and I love you, that makes her understand that she is the most important thing to you compared to work. That's the message you're giving over. It's really, really important to do this one. Yes?
Now, what happens when you call your wife and let's say her voicemail comes on? So what do? You leave the message or do you just call her back?
No, you leave the message on the voicemail. Good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, leave it on the voicemail.
So
nah, voicemail's good.
Oh.
So that when she picks up the voicemail, it's just thinking about you, I love you, done.
Oh.
You did the job. It works just as well. Okay, so then he'll leave it on the voicemail. That's a free pass, yeah. Question? No? Okay. All right, good. So that's affection. So let's do attention, affection. Let's do appreciation. Appreciation. It's very easy. Thank you, it's good. Appreciation. It's very easy to make your wife feel appreciated. All you have to do is remember that she is a girl. G-I-R-L. It's actually an acronym. G stands for gratitude. I stands for important. R stands for respect. L stands for language. Gratitude, important, respect, and language. You do these four things, you will make your wife feel unbelievably appreciated. Let's start with the easy one first. The easiest one is gratitude. Now, gratitude, what is gratitude? How do you show gratitude? It's very simple. What do you have to do?
Say thank you.
First thing, before you can say thank you, you have to acknowledge the things that your wife does for you on a daily basis. Acknowledge the things you have in your life because of your wife. And then once you've acknowledged it, what do you need to do? Verbalize your appreciation by saying thank you some way or another. Now, take a second and think about the things that you have in your life today because of your wife. Go ahead, think about it for a second. What kinds of things? Things that your wife does for you during the day, things your wife does for you in general, things that you have in your life because of your wife. What are some of those things? Give me an example.
Kids, children.
Children, excellent.
A home.
A home.
Companionship.
Companionship.
Hygiene.
Hygiene.
Health.
That's true, health. That's true.
Happiness.
Food in the fridge. Happiness. That's an important one. What other things? Depends on the relationship. Different people, different things. So whatever they are, whatever it is that you have in your life, you have because of your wife, you must start showing the appreciation through gratitude. And you have to do it daily. Now, it's not hard It's not a hard thing. The theory is that you should start with the small things, seemingly, quote-unquote, mundane things, and by getting into the habit of doing it with the small things, you'll automatically start doing it with the bigger, more important things. Now, start doing it with the small things. For example, that's seemingly mundane. By the way, if your wife puts time, effort, and energy into it, it's not mundane. Because it's her time, her effort, and her energy, which is the most important thing, and she's doing it for you. It is not mundane. I'll give you a perfect example. My house, I have something. It's called a magic sock drawer. I don't know how it works, but what I do is when I go home at night, and I just before I go to bed, I go into the bathroom, and I take my socks off, and I throw them in a hamper in the bathroom. I put them in the hamper in the bathroom, and when I leave in the morning, I go into the closet and I take out socks from this drawer. They're clean. They're in pairs, rolled up into little balls. So all I got to do now is reach in there and I get these clean, sorted socks. Somehow, the socks make it from the hamper, dirty, into that drawer, clean, and the only thing I know is that I have nothing to do with it. I don't care who does it. It makes no difference who does it. All I know is that I have nothing to do with it. I never had anything to do with it. I never once told anybody, take the hamper and do something with it to get the socks in the drawer. My wife took that on in the house. Great. That's what she decided she wanted to do for us. Perfect. How can I not show gratitude, whether she does it herself or whether she organizes somebody else to do it? How can I not show gratitude to her, to a human being who does that for me? Why do we not show gratitude? What happens? We take it for granted.
Wouldn't it be more gratitude if you decide to do your own laundry 3 times a week?
That would be great if that's what she wants. But you know what? Not necessarily. Maybe she wants the gratitude. Maybe she wants to feel the appreciation for doing things. There's nothing wrong with somebody doing something for you. If your wife decides that that's the kind of thing she wants to do, it could be lots of different things. Well, let's say they use that as a paradigm, as an example. If your wife wants to do something for you, there's nothing wrong with her doing it. But you should make her feel appreciated for it. And that's an amazing thing. You know, you mentioned kids. When I go to synagogue on Saturdays, and I have my kids with me, my daughter, you know, she's dressed beautiful, Shabbos clothes. She's, you know, 11, and I've got my 4 boys, sort of like little steps going down, and each one is dressed. You know, it's an unbelievable thing, but they're dressed in little jackets, white shirts, pants that fit, shoes. I never bought my kids shoes. I've never bought them a shirt before, personally. I didn't do that. Somebody did it. Someone took care of making my kids. And I walk into Shul and I feel like $1 million. And I go, whoa, look at that. This is my prodigy. I feel great. How do we not show gratitude? So, gentlemen, it's very simple what you have to do. Once a day. Once a day. Just pick something that your wife does for you, which is seemingly mundane, one of the small things. Every day, pick something that she does for you. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you do the laundry, great. She does something for you. Whatever it is, and every day communicate one thing. Thank you for doing X. I really appreciate it. Something different every day. And you start doing that, and all of a sudden you start finding yourself showing gratitude for the bigger things, the kids, the home, the companionship, the love, the depth of relationship. And you'll start verbalizing those too, because you've gotten in the habit of verbalizing. G is gratitude. Any questions? Okay, let's move on to I. I is important. G, gratitude. I, important. Of all the things to make your wife feel appreciated, I is the most important one. And I stands for important. You have to make what's important to your wife important to you. Because it's important to your wife. So what's important to her in her life now becomes important to you because it's important to her. For example, well, again, we'll start with the seemingly mundane things and we'll move up to the more important. So we start with the seemingly mundane. Gentlemen, pretend the women aren't here for a second, okay? It's just us talking. Don't worry about the women. They're not really here. You know the kinds of stuff that women are into being women? You know the kinds of stuff I'm talking about? That they're interested in because they're women? Those kinds of things? Just need to think about it. You know those things I'm talking about? How many of you could care less about any of those things? Put up your hand. You really find them, like, totally interesting and exciting in your life. One guy's wife just put up his hand for him. I mean, I must have asked thousands and thousands of men that question, and never has a hand gone up. Because who cares? I mean, really, for example, what's the kinds of things I'm talking about? For example, you know, you're going out for dinner, you're going to come here, whatever you're going, and you're about to leave, and your wife holds up two dresses. And she says to you, honey, which one should I wear? What's going through every man's mind at this point? It's really two things, right? The first one is, oh my God, who cares? Just pick one. We're late. That's most, right? That's the first thing. The second thing that's going through most guys' minds is, well, they look the same to me. I don't know which one. Whatever, what do you pick? So it's important to her. Obviously, she's asking your opinion. It's something happening with those two dresses. It's important to her. Being a woman, there's something that's important to her. Perhaps. So what do? Gentlemen?
Help her choose.
You do your job. What's your job? You get in there. You make her happy. You get in there and you look at that dress. You look at this dress. You look at that dress. You look at this. And you make a decision. I pick that one.
Why?
What does she do? Yeah, what's wrong with the other one? What's she going to do? She's going to wear the other one. Most of the time she's going to pick the other one. But who cares? Why? Because you did your job. Your job is that became important to her because it's important to her. It's important to you. There's so much in a woman's life that to a man, he can't even grasp, he can't even fathom why a human being is spending time doing this so much. You know what, gentlemen? If it's important to your wife, it now becomes important to you. I'll give you another example. We'll move on to the more important things. But another example is once a week, and I suggest that you do this. It's not a tool, so this is an option. It's not a homework assignment. But I suggest that something that's very good for your marriage is to take one night a week and make it your night. So you have a night, and this night's your night. You try to keep it as much as you can, and this night's your night. You go out, you have a date, you do whatever you want to do. You spend time together. My wife and I have a date night, and invariably, about once a month, once every 6 weeks maybe, on our date night, we go dress shopping. Imagine that. We go. Ever see a man go dress shopping with his wife? It's the most hilarious sight. He has a newspaper under his arm. He walks into the store. He walks right into the back. He sits down on the chair they have at the dressing rooms. He opens up the newspaper and he sits there and waits patiently with the newspaper while his wife shops. That's not what I do with my wife. With my wife, we go to a dress shop. She takes one rack. I take another rack. I look through it and I go, hey, honey, how about this? Yeah, okay, I'll put that one back. What about this one? Okay. And over time, I start to see, I've got her, you know, her size and sort of see the style. And she starts wearing stuff, actually, that's more to my taste. Because it seems to be that after doing this for so many times, that I actually have a sense of style and something. I don't know. But you know what? Doing it after a long period of time. Now, gentlemen, honestly, I mean, do I care? When my wife goes shopping for herself, is she capable of buying beautiful clothes? Of course. When I'm with her, are the clothes any more beautiful? No. So do I care? Do I want to be there? Is this important to me? The answer is?
It's important to her.
Yes, because it's important to her. When I go dress shopping with her, I'm not dress shopping. I'm making my wife happy through this activity. Whatever it is. And funny thing has happened, really, which is interesting, is when I was in Houston 2 weeks ago, and when I was in Florida about 6 months ago, and when I was in Washington about 4 months ago, on each of these trips, I went into dress shops when I had a few times, and I went into a dress shop and I bought my wife clothes, sweaters, dresses, all this kind of stuff in these dress shops in a city thousands of miles away where there's no returns, because now I kind of know, well, I certainly know her size, and I kind of know her style now. And I bring them back, and she loves them. So that's a benefit. But I don't suggest you do that one yourselves. Remember, after all, I am a professional. But that's the kind of idea we're talking about. The kind of idea is that find out what's important to your wife and make it important to you because it's important to her. I'll give you one more example. In order to give this example, you have to know something about me. When we lived in Israel, we lived in a small apartment in Jerusalem. It's beautiful. We loved it. It's our first home there. And it was this tiny place. And our living room was literally the size of this little space here. And it was a living room, dining room, kitchen area. And in the living room, dining room area, all we could squish into this tiny space was a bookshelf with books, a dining room, little dining room table with chairs, and a couch. And that was it in this space, because we couldn't fit anything else in there. And I used to come home for lunch, and we used to spend lunchtime together, first married. And I came home one day for lunch, and I'm sitting down, and we made lunch, and we sat down at our little dining room table. And I'm sitting down, and I'm looking at my wife, I'm looking around, and I'm like, something's different in my mind. I'm going, something's different. And I'm looking and I'm sweating because I can't figure out what it is. And I'm looking, something's different. I'm looking up head to toes. I can't tell, but I sense that something's different. So finally I go to the place no man ever wants to venture, and I say to my wife, honey, something different. And she said, are you kidding me? And I said, no. She said, look around. Are you joking? And I'm looking at her hand. I'm looking at her. I can't think of what it is. She said, look, the couch is gone. I took it to be reupholstered. The couch is not there. It's a room that all it had, the only furniture, was a couch and a table. And I didn't notice the couch was gone. That's just the kind of person I am. I'm in my head. I'm thinking of things. I'm in ideas. And I lock in on things. When I come home, now I walk over things to the kitchen to, see the kids or somewhere. And I'm walking and I don't notice anything around me. That's just me. It's not necessarily a man thing. It's a me thing. That's what I'm like. We moved into our home into Toronto about 6 years ago. Like every young couple, you start out, you want to start decorating. So we can't afford to decorate the whole house at once. So what do? You do room by room. And over the last 6 years, we've gone from room to room to room to room to room. And then what happens when you get to the end? The first room's 6 years old. You start again. So perpetually there's stuff in our house that have to do with painting and decorating and this kind of stuff. So that's fine. But there was a time when my wife was putting these things on the windows. I don't even know what you call them. They're like curtains on the top. But they have absolutely no function whatsoever. There's like no string or anything to pull them down. What are they called?
Valance.
So a valance. I mean, would I, based on who I am and what I just told you, would I ever notice there's a valance in my house? Never in a million years, unless someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, look, a valance. Oh, very nice. I remember when my wife was, looking to put a valance in whatever room it was, the family room. So she said, she came home with a couple books, and only thing they had in the books were materials. And she said, I want you to help me pick out the material for the valance. Now, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, could I care less? I mean, I'm never going to notice. Could I care less? The answer is?
No.
Yes. It's important to me. Why?
It's important to her.
Because it's important to her. And I sat down at the book and I said, well, this one's a beautiful shade of off-white. Now, this is a nice off-white. Wow, look at this off-white. Hey, here's an off-white. You know, so she's told me what's the kind of got to match it to this or whatever. So, you know, but I was in it because it's important to her. What's important to her becomes important to you because it's important to her, regardless of what it is. If she is a physicist, and that's important to her, you make it your business to make it important to you. If she's a cop, and that's important to her, you make it your business to make it important to you. If she's into spirituality and growth, and that's important to her, you make it your business to make it important to you. Why?
Because it's important to her.
G. Gratitude. I. Important. You do those two things. Do you make your wife feel appreciated so far? Women, how's it going? And make him feel appreciate. Make you feel appreciated? Okay. I'm going to do R. R is very short. Very simple. Respect. There's two aspects of respect. These are very simple. Take a second. Two aspects of respect. First aspect of respect is you got to make your wife feel that you respect her mind and her opinions. It's not a problem with most people nowadays, thank God, but I'll just say it anyway. You got to make your wife feel that you respect her mind and her opinions. So, for example, that's just an example. You can do it any way you want. Maybe you want to bring home stuff from the office. Whatever things that you're working on outside of your life with her, things that you're grappling with, ideas that you're struggling with, whatever it may be, and ask her for advice. She's a smart lady, your wife. She's very clever. Bring home stuff that you're struggling with. So, for example, this entire seminar, this entire program that was written in consultation with my wife. I would struggle and say, this wasn't working, this worked, this worked, this didn't work. People didn't laugh at this, people weren't argued with this. And she, I used to discuss it with my wife all the time. And so many of the, most of the great insights in here were because she discussed them with me. Smart cookie. Bring home your work to her to discuss. There's one exception, by the way. There's something at work you must never bring home to your wife. And that is if you have an argument with someone at work. You have an interpersonal argument, like let's say one of your guys in your firm stole a client or something, and you're really upset, and you come home and you go, you can't believe what Bob did, he stole a client, and he did, blah, 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 blah. What's going to happen with you guys, business, the next day? You're going to go to Bob and you're going to talk it out, perhaps. You're going to maybe next week steal one of his clients. Who knows? That's business. But you guys will be buddies in about a week. What's going to happen with your wife and Bob? 6 years later, at the company picnic, you're going to be introducing her around, and you're going to go, hello, hey, honey, this is Bob. Remember Bob? What's she going to say? Oh, he's the one that stole clients. 6 years later, he's on. You know, she'll never forget. So I suggest that you keep all the interpersonal stuff out. But the ideas that you're struggling with, the concepts and the ideas that you want to talk it out, you talk it out with your wife. So that's the first aspect of respect. Is that clear? Very good. The second aspect of respect is that you must respect your wife's emotions, being a woman. Her emotions as a woman. You ever been to, I don't know if it happens with you, it's not necessarily all couples, but you ever been to a movie where your wife cries at the movie? And you're looking at this movie and going, I'm not exactly sure what happened in this movie that made her cry, but she's crying. Or you hear a phone call between your wife and a friend, and this happens in my house, oh, you hear a phone call between your wife and a friend, and something like this, and she'll be going, hello, oh my God, really? Wow, you can't, what? Oh my God, you know, No. And you're like, run over. And you say, what is it? Oh, nothing. Because that's how women's emotions are on a much larger scale than men. One of my teachers once taught me years ago, he said, you know, when your wife cries, a lot of men, when the woman cries over something, the men discount their feelings for that because they don't feel like crying over what they're crying about. So your wife will be crying over something and you'll be in the circumstance going, I can't believe she's crying. So you'll discount her feelings because you don't feel that way. You know what? This teacher said to me, he said, imagine what it would take for you to cry like that. And I'm thinking, what kinds of things would it take for me to cry like that? God forbid. Terrible, terrible things. So he said, what kinds of things? I said, you know, God forbid, like a death or a sickness or something. That would do it for me. He said, well, get in touch how you feel at that moment. I go, okay, I can understand. He said, that is how she's feeling. The feeling is real. It's just that's how she feels. Being a woman, that's how she feels in that circumstance. But the feeling is real. When your wife emotes, really emotes in a circumstance for a man that thinks it's ridiculous to have that much emotion, you know what? Respect her emotions as a woman. Make her feel that you respect that emotion. You, when she's crying over something you think is ridiculous, put yourself in her head and go, oh my gosh, she really feels terrible. She feels sad. And talk to her like that. Don't discount her feelings. Happiness or sadness? Any questions? Yeah. Should you be insincere?
No, but I'm saying
no.
It can be used.
Sure. Should you use these tools in an insincere way to manipulate your wife to get her to feel a certain way? No.
No, I'm not saying should you. I'm saying if it were, it could be done that way, so it's an insincere way, so it's not necessarily a true emotion.
So try not to do that. Okay. Is the guy analyzing the relationship? Thank you. You understand what I go through here. Okay. Come on, man. Be sincere. Be sincere. And the last point for... Yeah. That's true. No, you're asking a tremendous question. He's asking a great question. He's saying, what if you don't feel like doing your work one day? I don't feel like being nice to my wife. It happens. No, I appreciate every. It happens in every marriage, of course. I don't feel like calling my wife today. I don't like the way she spoke to me this morning or whatever. I don't want to call her. I'm brooding about something, whatever it may be. But I should do my job. So you call her up and you say, I was just thinking about you and I love you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. You know what? You do it anyway. I mean, that's ridiculous. You stand up, you do your job. I don't feel like calling my wife today to tell her I love her because I'm a... So what?
They can't call in sick.
Right. But of course you're human and you're going to make mistakes, but you don't try to. Right?
You're telling us to be insincere.
No, I'm telling you to be sincere. And if you're not being... And if you don't feel sincere, do it anyway. So, G's gratitude, I important, R, respect her emotions as well as her mind, and L, language. You must speak to your wife in a language that makes her feel appreciated as a woman. You should know that we're going to do L, language, in four parts. In session 4, 5, 6, and 7, we're going to talk about how to speak to your wife in a language to make her feel appreciated as a woman. It's much more complicated than just one line. But there's one point I can give tonight, and the rest we'll do in a couple of weeks. And that point is to make your wife feel appreciated as a woman in the way you talk to her in the language. You know, a lot of guys, before you, you know, when you're chasing, when you were chasing this beautiful woman that you ended up marrying, how did you behave?
Like an angel.
like an angel, right? You just were pursuing her, and you were on your best behavior, and you acted like a knight in shining armor to win her over, and you were polite, and you didn't emit strange noises from different parts of your body. And then what happens? All of a sudden you get married and you forget that she's a woman? You say, well, now I could totally be myself. You let her hang out and just totally be myself. Gentlemen, it's extremely important that you never forget that your wife is still a woman. And women are different. And you must speak to her. We'll talk about the actual verbal skills, communication skills later. But you must speak to her in a way that makes her still feel appreciated as a woman. So the only tool I'm giving tonight, and the rest we'll do again later, but the only tool I'm giving tonight is that you must not communicate to her with words that come from other parts of your body. Not necessarily words. Noises, if you understand what I'm saying. Burping and the things like that. Unless she's really into it. For some reason, and she'll communicate that to you. But that's an example. You know what I'm talking about? That's just an example of things. You must make her feel appreciated as a woman in the language. The physical language. For example, I, to this day, when we go out, my wife and go out anywhere together, if we're driving the same car, I run to open the car door for her. It makes her feel so special. Some women hate it. That's okay. That wouldn't be your wife. My wife, it makes her feel special as a woman. That's making her feel appreciated as a woman. Whatever it may be, you've got to start thinking like that in more than just your verbal skills, which we'll talk about afterwards. Okay, let's just do a quick review of your work, and then we're going to get to questions. Quick review of your work. You must, this week, it's not so hard. This week you must, if you didn't do the 2 minutes of eye contact, try it this week. Don't forget the 20 minutes. Take your wife's call at work. Those are attention. Affection. Speak to her in affectionate tones all the time. You must. Affectionate touch. Ask her what she likes. Call her once a day just to say, I love you, I'm thinking about you, from work. And write her 2 love notes this week. Also, start thinking about things that she does for you daily. And just say thank you for them, 1 a day. You know, I was just thinking about I was looking at my kids and I had such a beautiful experience. Thank you, honey, for giving me so-and-so in my life. It takes a second, makes her feel appreciated. You know, it's amazing, I have a home to come to. Thank you for giving me this home. Takes a second. Start focusing on it. Important to her. Start looking around for the things that are important to her. Make them important to you because they're important to her. R, respect her mind and, of course, her emotions. And L, language, which we'll talk about at depth. Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. And I'm going to stick around for some questions.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.